I was considering myself to be kind of good in the UI UX part of developments, but it seems like there are many important aspects that developers have to follow every time they at least try to analyze or plan a project. So it seems like I may not know even the half of it. So that's why I decided to create this podcast episode. This is podcast episode 5. Welcome everyone to the Full Stack Radio podcast. I'm your host, as always, Harry. And in this podcast, I'll be showing you how important it is for UI and UX to be diving into your project in like the most appropriate way for you to have like the first structure inside your project. So what is UI UX? So UI comes for user interface and UX comes for user experience. So user interface is actually what the user, when they navigate onto your page, see. So the buttons, the different texts and materials, animations, icons, and basically how else can I describe it as the most basic stuff you have and the user can see on your page, on your site. The user experience is another aspect of a seamless experience for your user. Is exactly that, actually, is a seamless experience for your user. You cannot have, let's say, a login button that goes in the registration area when the user clicks it. It's just like the simplest thing I could think right now. It's just like that. But diving more into these topics, we should go more inside the good design importance. How important it is to have a good design right from the beginning of building a project. Like in this section, we should discuss how good is a UI and UX design when it is crucial for the user engagement, how satisfied the user is when he goes and when he navigates into your site. And at last, if you finally get to complete and check all these checkboxes for UI and UX, you'll have a successful website. So let's, for example, take Apple's ecosystem. Personally, I'm a huge Apple fan. I mostly got everything that Apple has taken out. But what was my initial thoughts about the company when I decided to switch to the Apple world? So Apple has a very unique design, very minimalistic design that can help you just easily navigate through every page that they have on your iPhone, on your Mac, on your iPad, anything that you like. And they have slick designs. So not so many companies have this, I don't know, interaction with their users. So I feel like I was for years an Android user. And I kind of like it actually, but the first time I got to touch an iPhone and see how this works and how this behaves in my hands, it was just feeling amazing. Smooth transitions, no lags, nothing at all. The design was mainly just like captivating for me. So that's why I decided to switch to the iPhones and the Apple ecosystem in general. But that's another topic, because Google has also created something similar, which is basically the material design from their side. Material design, and I think there is now different UI and UX like considerations about this. I remember using Material UI, which is, I think, from Google itself. So this kind of balances the two ecosystems together. Google's material design also tried to like mimic the way Apple was, I don't know, maybe functioning or working. And it kind of made me think of my two options here. So should I stay with Apple and keep this design keep this functionality, which is considerably amazing for me. I cannot be thinking of myself with a different device or materialistic design and all of that. Or should I change to Google's material design? These were my two options and my debating inside my mind. But the fact is that the two companies accomplish everything that they wanted to accomplish. So they have a huge amount of followers showing off their work with Apple, showing off iOS, iPadOS, macOS. Even now, the watchOS is amazing from Apple's perspective. They just think it out before even designing it. So they think it, they design it, and if they like it, and it goes with the company policies, then it's just another hit for them. I would actually say the same for Google also. But we should first consider how important is user-centered design. These companies, Apple and Google, have reached the user-centered design from years since. But it's easy also to explore the concept of the user-centered design and to focus on understanding what the user needs and the preferences they have for your application, for your website, for your program. Anything that you built should be considered as user-centered design. So Amazon should be a good example of this topic, because Amazon has created, I think, a peak level of user-centered design, which was the one-click ordering. I don't know if you've seen this and ever navigated into the Amazon website and tried to navigate their product list page or even the product display page, and you thought that this product is perfectly mine, I want it, it fits in my preferences, I want to buy it. So Amazon has considered building something unique on that age, where you get to just click a button and get you directly to the checkout and put your payment information directly and pay with one click, literally. So this was, I think, Amazon who first introduced it, and they got to get so many sales that even, of course, other companies got to do that after that. But it is important to highlight this issue because Amazon has found a way to make payments easier and faster. So with just one click, the user was able to buy their product immediately. But the usability principles about the UI and the UX consideration is, of course, to highlight how easy it is for the user to use your project, your app, your website. So it is easy for a user to learn your website, how this works, how efficient it is, and how easy it is to memorize each step that they have to make in order to, I don't know, order food, order a product, buy a t-shirt, buy a shoe, and all of that. Of course, it is basically important for you to have in mind that you have to prevent the errors and get the user to be satisfied when they close an order or navigate on your website or in the application itself. This was achieved by Spotify, and by meaning that I am saying that Spotify has a unique functionality, a unique flow, where I haven't seen it in any other similar application. Lately, I've been using Apple Music, but to be honest, I don't like it, because when I, let's say, click on a song, it plays it, and after it ends, after the song finishes, actually, it just stops. Doesn't recommend you anything, doesn't move on to the next one, except, of course, if you say, like, in the assistant of the iPhone. I'm not kind of saying the name now because everything is going to stop here. Okay, so when you say the name of the assistant and you say, just play this playlist, it will play until the playlist songs are out of it. I don't know. But Spotify has introduced this unique functionality where you have personalized recommendations. So personalized recommendations are getting used to what songs you listen to, and then it automatically recommends you songs based on what you listen every day. So it's like a constant algorithm, a constant AI, let's say, functionality that always learns from what you listen. This was actually pretty important and pretty efficient in the user experience because the user was easily clicking a button, and it was efficient and it was memorizable because the algorithm itself was learning constantly and the user was simply satisfied. So that's what the usability principle of Spotify was: personalized recommendations that let the user pick any song and get infinite song playlists playing in the background while they were working or studying or cooking or anything similar. But instead of the usability principles, and as Spotify tremendously created this amazing personalized recommendation flow, we also have the wireframing and prototyping. I think this is one of the most important steps you need to make during your, let's say, thought and analysis of the project, because wireframing and prototyping are basically the structure of your design when you go to build a UI or a UX for your application. Okay, so far I've used two applications for this purpose. I've used Adobe XD and Figma. I think I'm more into the Figma world lately because Adobe XD, I think, is paid. So I just wanted to use something quick, easy, and free. Just like that. I didn't have any other options to go further. So in this case, the wireframing and prototyping processes are design processes. So it actually leaves you some space, the application, to design, basically draw what you need to show to the user, what will be the prototype where you actually will build on continuously after you build the first prototype. This was perfectly visually developed by Airbnb. I'm putting these all examples of big companies because these big companies have created something similar to what we call today a very, very good UI and UX experience. So Airbnb has a visual storytelling. It guides you through each apartment, each house, and it makes you want to buy it, want to rent it, because they have these unique videos and these unique experiences, design experiences on their application and on their website that make you attracted to each and every one of the apartments. So, this is why wireframing and prototyping are important, because they are the logo of your application. They show the main structure and the skeleton bone from your application. But instead of only using the wireframing and prototyping, colors and text, typography in general, also play a very good role in this one. And I'm going to be suggesting also another company about it, which is Slack. I don't know if any of you have ever used Slack. I've used it only in my previous project, but it was like for a very short amount of time. How important is color and typography and the choice you're going to make for the user perception, and how easy it is for the user to read your texts? Not everyone uses the generic text for their website or their application, but you need also for this to make a huge analysis of what it is mostly efficient and readable for your user. So except from the wireframing and prototype, also colors and typography have their importance on that UI and UI UX design. So Slack was also another example of that, and the intuitive collaboration that they have between the app. Responsive design also plays a role, And I will put it together with accessibility because responsive design and accessibility go together for me. Responsive design is when you are building something, let's say a website, and you make it available and let the user see it in another way on their mobile phone. So how important it is for responsive design to be created and to have a seamless user experience, as we said before, across different devices and screen sizes. Let's say I want to visit a website from my PC, then I wanted to use it on my laptop, and then my phone and my iPad. Of course, for now, we cannot visit websites from our watches, but maybe we'll do this in the short future. I don't know. A very good example for a responsive design is Duolingo. Duolingo is an application where you get to learn a new language every day. This leaves you with another unique experience that you have separately on your desktop and separately on your mobile phone. Duolingo has achieved this functionality with accessibility and responsive design by gamifying their application. So while you learn Italian, let's say, you get to play different games so that you, while playing, you get to learn this language and each section side by side. So that's what they thought of. It was like important to make the user learn the language. Accessibility also plays an important role, and it was together with responsive design because it ensures that you have a positive experience for all kinds of users, including those with disabilities. And that's what Uber is achieving with their simplified ride booking. So wherever you are, whenever it is, and a driver is available, you can book a ride wherever you are, and it is accessible to anyone, any user, all users, including those with disabilities. But instead of pointing the gun to ourselves and showing us every day with the analysis and the organization of our project how good it will be to have responsive design, to have accessible applications, colors, typography, prototypes, good usability principles, and user-centered designs. Except from all of that, we have also to consider the user feedback and the testing. So let's say that you built the whole application and you have managed to tick all of these checkboxes that we said earlier about all of these topics and the users with the disabilities and the responsive designs, all of these. Now you get to test the app. You get to have some users inside testing the app for a beta version, let's say, on your beta version, and get feedback loops in refining the design. And if you want to meet the user expectations, this kind of time frame is the best you can have during that application development. Microsoft has this fluent design system where you get to have user experience tests and feedback of your own users that you have selected to be getting into the website. So this will actually show you the way to move forward and the users, how they navigate through the website or through the application itself. Finally, I wanted to show you how the trends in UI UX design touch upon the current trends of the design materials throughout the internet, let's say. So if you've seen and navigated into the Pinterest homepage or navigation page, I don't know how it is called, surely you have experienced the infinite scroll design. So Pinterest were the first to introduce the infinite scroll in their application, where the user can infinitely scroll down and down until they just get bored, I don't know, and find different ideas and different materials or different clothes to buy. I don't know what the Pinterest environment is all about, but you get the idea of the infinite scroll and how it is working. You just get to infinitely scroll down their website without even changing any page or navigating or redirecting to any other one. This was the big enhancement on the relevance of a website or application. After that, all the websites, like maybe 90% of the websites, have turned their navigation in the website or application to Pinterest's idea with infinite scroll. Real-world examples are all of these that I told you, from Pinterest to Microsoft, Uber, Duolingo, Amazon, Spotify, Apple, and all of these companies, big companies, that they introduced their own ecosystems and their own case studies in our world and made our lives easier. And you get the idea of a good UI and UX design, and you can build this with the ideas you get from these companies on your own application. So we also mentioned some very nice tools and resources about UI and UX, which are Adobe XD and Figma. Personally, as I told you before, I'm using Figma lately because it's quicker, it is free, and there are infinite resources on the internet about different icons, different animations, texts, and prototype materials you can choose, and eventually build your application and prototype or wireframe before the user gets to test it, and of course before the developer codes it. These visually and effective appealing interfaces have caused what we have now as a good UI UX design, and these are the very first things that you have to do when you're considering in building a UI design. Just navigate through these all companies' websites, find what you think it's the most attractive one for your own website or application, and move forward with it. So summarizing all of that, I think we have said different things about how important it is for a good design to be there for your application with Apple's ecosystem and Google's material design. We said about user-centered design with Amazon's one-click ordering. We said usability principles with Spotify personalized recommendations that I love so much. Wireframing and prototyping with Airbnb and visual storytelling that they have with their videos, and how they make it appealing for you to rent an apartment. How important it is for color, typography, responsive design, and accessibility to be there with Uber and Duolingo as examples of big companies. And of course, the user feedback and testing, which is also very important after you built and developed your site and it is like in alpha or beta version. So summarizing all of that, I really encourage continuously learning and try to adapt, because these UI and UX fields are a continuously learning experience and you have to adapt in the rapidly evolving field. Okay, so I think that's what I got for you for today's episode. If you like this episode, please give us a rate or review and give us a like, maybe share it, because the algorithm, you know, you have to share it, and that's how you show it to other people. That's what I got for you for today's episode. I was Harry, and this was the Full Stack Radio. See you.